Welcome to Season 8, Episode 9 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the plumb line. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic, so I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. God showed the prophet Amos three visions that warned about the coming judgment against Israel in Amos 7, 1-9. After the first two visions, Amos protested, pleading for mercy on behalf of Israel. But after the third vision, he no longer protested. What was different about the third vision? Answering this question will provide a valuable lesson for us today. Let's look at that passage, Amos 7, 1-9. Thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm, when the spring crop began to sprout, and behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. And it came about when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land that I said, Lord God, please pardon. How can Jacob stand, for he is small? The Lord changed his mind about this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, the Lord God was calling to contend with them by fire. And it consumed the great deep, and began to consume the farmland. Then I said, Lord God, please stop. How can Jacob stand, for he is small? The Lord changed his mind about this. This too shall not be, said the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, What do you see, Amos? And I said, A plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be desolated, and the sanctuaries of Israel laid waste. Then I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. The difference between the final vision and the first two was the plumb line. This tool was used to determine whether or not a structure was vertical. Even though a wall or a building might appear to be perfectly upright to the naked eye, the plumb line would make it evident if it was even 1 or 2 degrees off. It is the perfect and unmistakable standard. The plumb line was the reason why Amos could not protest God's judgment. If we look at the condition of Israel at that time, the people of Israel did not see themselves as having fallen and being in need of repentance. They longed for the day of the Lord, as Amos 5:18 says, believing that it would bring deliverance rather than judgment and punishment. They were religious, even if God was not pleased with their offerings. As Amos 5 and verse 22 says, they were at ease and felt secure, Amos 6:1, indicating their contentment with their current condition and lack of a guilty conscience. Yet God had a very different perspective about the condition of Israel than the people did. God said in Amos 6:8, I loathe the arrogance of Jacob and detest his citadels. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all it contains. Despite the people's attempt to worship God, God said, Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, Amos 5:23 and 24. Earlier in the book, the Lord numbered the reasons why Israel would be punished. They sell the righteous for money and the needy for a pair of sandals. These who pant after the very dust of the earth on the head of the helpless also turn aside the way of the humble. And a man and his father resort to the same girl in order to profane my holy name. On garments taken as pledges, they stretch out beside every altar. In the house of their God, they drink the wine of those who have been fined. Amos 2, 6-8. How could there have been such a difference between God's perspective and the people's perspective? Israel, through its spiritual, thought its spiritual condition was good, yet God knew it to be corrupt. The reason for the difference was that the people were not following God's perfect standard. This became evident when God put the plumb line in their midst. They were following their own fallible standard, which allowed them to see themselves as righteous, when in reality they were not. Now, when we think about the condition of Israel and how we can apply this today. There are fallible standards that we may follow today. One can convince himself that he is righteous simply because he measures up to whatever standard he decides to judge himself by. If his standard is not God's standard, then he's going to be found lacking. Sadly, many religious people are guilty of this. They judge themselves by a fallible standard, then convince themselves that God will be pleased when they conform to that standard. Let us notice a few of these fallible standards that we need to guard against today. Number one, religious leaders. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:20. The scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. And although they presented themselves before the people as being righteous, Jesus said in another place that they were like whitewashed tombs that would outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly were full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 23:27 and 28. These religious leaders were corrupt and certainly were not the standard the people were to be following. In the same way, we must not assume that we will please God simply by conforming our lives to what we see in someone who has attained a level of prominence among religious people. God expects more from us. Number two, denominations. It might be easy to look at the denominations around us, their numbers, their growth, their zeal, and so on, and want to have those things as well. But we need to be careful not to become like the denominations in order to obtain the things that they have that we desire. The Israelites rejected God in favor of a king to rule over them, as is talked about in 1 Samuel 8. The fact that this constituted rebellion against God did not matter to them at that point. They wanted to be like all the nations around them, 1 Samuel 8:20. In the same way, we must not look to the churches and denominations around us. They are not our standard. Instead, we need to pattern ourselves after the New Testament, as 2 Timothy 1:13 says. And number three is the world. There is often a tendency among Christians to want to fit in with the world. Yet Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect," Romans 12:2. Christians are not to blend in with the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden," Matthew 5:14. It is not enough to be good by the world's standard. We must be different, just as Christ was different. And number four, fellow Christians. The first three fallible standards that we've talked about may be more obvious, but we also need to refrain from using our fellow Christians as our standard. Now, obviously, we can and should follow the example of those who are following Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And those who are walking according to the divine pattern, Paul said in Philippians 3:17, "You mark those who are walking according to that pattern." They are examples. But we also need to realize that sometimes our fellow Christians are not what they should be. The church at Corinth had a fornicator in its midst, 1 Corinthians 5:1, and they were warned about that evil influence spreading. Laodicea was a lukewarm church, Revelation 3:16. Sardis was a dead church, Revelation 3:1. What if a Christian in one of those places were to conform to the standard set by his brethren? He would become lukewarm himself, or he would become dead, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough, 1 Corinthians 5:6. And number five, and the final one we'll mention of these fallible standards, is our conscience. Paul told the Jewish council in Acts 23:1, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." While a good conscience can be a good thing, it is not always the case. Paul had zealously persecuted the church and described himself as the foremost of all sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. All of this was done with a good conscience. Our conscience can guide us as we train it properly, as our senses are trained to discern good and evil by the Word of God, Hebrews 5:14. But our conscience will never be our standard. We need to continually examine ourselves, as we are told to do in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and not rely exclusively on what our conscience tells us. But there is a true and infallible standard. The plumb line was God's standard by which the people of Israel would be measured. If they did not line up with the standard, they would be punished. Amos could not argue with God over this point. The condition of the people was unmistakable. The plumb line to which we must measure up today is Christ and His Word. We will be judged by His Word in the end, John 12:48. It is the perfect standard. It is infallible and will not be changed. Therefore, we need to reject man's standards. Regardless of how popular they are or how desirable they seem to us, we must reject them, and we must embrace God's perfect standard and make sure we measure up to that. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. This episode concludes Season 8 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. We'll be taking a 4-week break, and then Season 9 will begin on January 23rd. In that season, we're going to be focusing on the letters to Timothy and Titus. During the break over the next 4 weeks, we'll have sermons being posted each week instead of the regular episodes, so stay tuned for those. So until then, I hope you have a great week.